This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. This is 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. My next guest, a man who was on a Chicago school board until the left came after him over some personal tweets. He had to resign his position, is here to tell us all about it. Dr. Dathan Paterno with us, a clinical psychologist, author of the book Desperately Seeking Parents. Dr. Paterno, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Now what happened? You were sending some tweets about the Women's March in D.C. What is it you said exactly?
Well, without risking getting your listeners upset, I was referring to not all of the women at the march. I was referring to the more violent, vulgar element of the march, those who were dressing up like vaginas and saying crude things, and the Madonna stuff that you heard. I'm not going to repeat it, but I said that most of those people, I referred to them as vagina screechers, probably didn't vote, and it's hard to take them seriously. And I said, what a farce.
What happened? So you send the tweet out. What happens next?
Well, it started going viral. A lot of leftists, psychologists, teachers, and everything in my area started sending it to the rest of the board, other parents, the superintendent, everybody. And there was a lot of anger and hostility. And then I started getting all kinds of hate mail and hate voicemail messages, death threats, things like that.
Did you anticipate that kind of reaction?
No, not at all. No, I should have known that it would get out there and it would go viral, but I didn't realize that.
Well, why did you decide to resign from the school board?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I definitely initiated the resignation. It was it's a 4-year term, and I had only 2 months left on the term, so it was a kind of a convenient excuse to leave anyway. But I really didn't want to have to deal with this with my family, and I also didn't want to have the board deal with this and some of the important work that they were doing, because we were really on a roll as a board doing some very good work, and I didn't really want this to be a distraction for them. So in part for them, in part for me, I thought it was a good time to just bow out.
Now, when you see the reaction at the march, for example, the anger from women, specifically at Donald Trump being the president, what do you make of that?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have no problem with women marching. I have no problem with women marching who are angry about Donald Trump. That's not the issue. The issue for me was the vile stuff, the vulgar stuff, and the violent talk. I just thought that was ridiculous. I mean, I saw children, 3-4 years old, holding signs that had, you know, really disgusting things on them. And that's grossly inappropriate, obviously. And so I went to Twitter to lampoon that and express my criticism. And, you know, they can refer to themselves as vaginas and even worse words. But woe to me, because I've said the same thing. All of a sudden, I'm you know, the target of a pretty organized conspiracy to hurt me and my business and even hurt my family.
Was it women that were threatening you directly?
Actually, there was one woman and two men. We got some pretty vile, pretty perverted, twisted threats. Not just me, but my coworkers were getting these really disgusting threats to our lives. And I got a couple emails, threats. I'm not sure if it was a man or a woman. And then somebody on Facebook said that they found a picture of my daughter and they were going to plaster it all over the internet. And really disgusting things.
So is this a part of the feminist movement, or is this something totally separate?
Well, I think it's part of the left really venting their anger and frustration. They could not get Donald Trump. They couldn't get to him. And so they looked for the next biggest fish that they could find that they could eviscerate. And I think I got caught in the crosshairs, and they just went after me to satisfy their bloodlust.
And you're actually one of the country's leading authors on the subject of alpha males. How do you see their view towards alpha males in general, the left's view on that?
I think it scares them to death. I think they interpret alpha and a reasonable dominance as something very threatening to their movement. You know, they've been moving for decades to eradicate masculinity, to eradicate anything like a proper family hierarchy. Mm-hmm. They've been trying to eradicate the differences between men and women. And any man who stands up and says, no, men are physically stronger than women, and they need to protect women, and it's okay to hold doors for women, and women have their strengths, and they have equal value. Women in the new feminist movement, they can't handle that. It must be that women are superior. There's this kind of goddess-like, it's really self-idolatry, what I perceive it to be as, for most of them. some of them, I think, they're just kind of duped into the movement. But
so where does that leave men in that paradigm? What do we end up doing then?
Well, we either have to succumb and submit, which kind of turns it all topsy-turvy, or we are eviscerated, or we're the enemy.
And so, I mean, do you think part of the anger towards you is based on your own work in this area?
I'm sorry, say that again?
In terms of your writings on alpha maleness, that kind of thing, do you think that's part of the reason why there was so much anger towards you?
You know, I don't really think so. I don't think it has much to do with that. I mean, most people who know my work know that I believe that mom and dad are equal partners in the partnership, and that the hierarchy is that mom and dad have equal rule. I mean, people know me personally know that my wife and I have equal power in our relationship to parents, but we believe very strongly that parents need to achieve and maintain a reasonable dominance with their children because parents know better than kids. And a lot of people just don't understand that. They don't appreciate it, and they rebel against it.
Okay, because I mean, some people hear the word alpha male, they think of men being dominant in that paradigm. Are you saying that's not the case?
Well, they misunderstand the word dominance. You know, I mean, we in my faith, you know, we refer to God as having dominion, and God gave people dominion over the earth. That means we're supposed to rule for, not over, in a an abusive way. But I think the left takes that word dominance, and they use it in the abusive, authoritarian way rather than a loving, authoritative, supportive definition. Mm-hmm. And misunderstanding that, I think they get off on the wrong foot and they just go for broke.
Hmm. Yeah, when you see someone like President Trump now in office, what do you think he's going to do for this this conversation of feminism and where men fit into the picture?
Well, I think there's the fortunate and unfortunate. I think fortunately he is redefining alpha in our culture. You know, I was telling people, I think alpha is back. And I think when Reagan was president, we had a lot of alpha men in media. You know, we had the we had Rambo, and we had Conan, and we had, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, and alpha was cool. Alpha was great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we kind of lost that in the last 20 years. And now I think with Trump, we have it back. The downside is that there's such a groundswell against it in the radical left that I think it's really pitting left and right against each other even more, which is unfortunate.
Yeah. What do you say to feminists who view alpha males as connected to things like sexual violence and aggression, that kind of thing? What do you say to that?
Well, I think it's hysteria, because it is certainly not a necessary part of the definition of alpha. Alpha just is ruling, you know. I mean, in almost every animal has a dominant structure where there is an alpha, either an alpha male or an alpha female. That's just the natural order of things. Mm-hmm. And I think that if they just would accept that means a benevolent ruler and dominion, that would be a good thing. But they don't want the natural order. They want an unnatural order of things, unfortunately.
Putting Donald Trump aside, though, in the larger picture, are we heading further away as, even when you look at millennials, are they in a place that's very different than what we traditionally viewed in the men-women relationships?
Absolutely. Instead of Rambo, we have Pajama Boy. I think that's really a good microcosm of where we're going in our culture, is that we're looking at kind of this effeminate, really powerless, too submissive, and eventually women aren't going to like it because they're not meant to be men, and men aren't meant to be women. And all this confusion, I think, is going to be the down, destroy our civilization unless we turn a 180.
Okay, so if women don't like it at some point, could they change it and kind of put us back in alpha positions? Or?
Yes, I think a lot of women still, particularly in the conservative movement, appreciate an alpha male, a loving, protective, strong, masculine man. I know my wife appreciates that. I know my daughters appreciate that. And I know lots and lots of women who actually do appreciate that. Some women appreciate when you hold the door for them and you're kind to them and you offer to carry things for them. It doesn't mean that you're suppressing them or oppressing them or you think that they can't do it. It's a loving, benevolent gesture, appreciating the differences between men and women.
Yeah. Hey, one last thing. Traditionally, is feminism as a movement opposed to this entire concept that you're talking about, in your view?
No. Actually, Dr. Gina Loudon and I wrote a book about it called Ladies and Gentlemen, and we talk about the original movement that Abigail Adams and others in the revolutionary era were part of, and they were the classic feminists. And they honored, they lauded masculinity and appreciated the differences between men and women. They just wanted an equal partnership mm-hmm. in terms of value, and they wanted their skills and abilities appreciated. Yep. And I think
When do you think that changed?
Well, we argued that atheism, liberalism, and then radical feminism really turned the tables in the last 100 years. Now, certainly, there were good parts of that where women got to vote, and you know, that's not a bad thing. But I think women, a lot of times in culture, when we try to change an evil to a good, we don't go to the middle. We often err on turning things to the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you see that with prohibition. Instead of fixing the alcohol problem, we just prohibited everything.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the right solution, and it takes a while to get back to the middle.
Well,
so my hope is that we will come back to the middle with an appreciation of both men and women.
Okay, but how much of it is the women versus the men in our society going along with it and agreeing with this change?
Both. I think men and women are both equal partners in screwing things up. Men have, worshipped women, and you know, because of their almost sole focus on sex, they will do anything to satisfy a woman. And so the women get too much power because of that.
Yeah.
That's the men's fault. And then, of course, you do have men who are abusive and misuse their role. And that gives women an excuse to see men as abusive and to, you know, rail against the popular culture with men in charge. And that's too unfortunate. But then women take advantage of that. And then they're, like I said, there is this kind of self-idolatry with some women in the left.
Yeah. So it sounds like we can be pushovers as guys sometimes, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah. One last thing, Dr. Paterno. What's come of this? You've resigned your position on the school board there in Chicago. Have things calmed down since that whole incident?
A little bit. You know, the death threats have stopped. A couple of psychologists are trying to go for my license, made a complaint and whatnot. That's not going to go anywhere, hopefully. I think I'll be okay with that because I didn't really do anything that heinous. But I'm just trying to, maintain the practice and build it and working on my next book called Alpha Parenting.
Incredible. Incredible. They're going after your license. That's pretty stunning.
Yeah, it's a little bit hysterical, in my opinion.
Do you have a lot of guys in your practice that you have to kind of walk through some of these issues of being more masculine and so on?
I'm the only man in my practice. I'm such a misogynist that I only hire women.
Uh-huh.
I've given all these women jobs over the last 10, 15 years. I must be such a bad guy. I've had men in my practice before, but not very many of them. And because my practice, like public school teaching, has become almost all women.
Huh. Dr. Dathan Paterno, clinical psychologist, author of the book Desperately Seeking Parents. Dr. Paterno, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Thanks for having me.
Certainly interesting.